Hello and welcome to the Henrietta Christian Fellowship Podcast. The notes for the sermons featured here can be found at our website, henriettacf.org. Also, on Android or iOS mobile devices, you can find them on the YouVersion app. Just click on Search for Live Events and enter our zip code 14543. Without further ado, here's this week's sermon.
Right now. Okay. So, you know, because really, you know, we've been talking about burdens and see what it is this. God relieves us of burdens, doesn't he? Okay, because he takes the burden of sin that we couldn't solve this problem. We inherited a sin nature. And we talked about this last time, you know, that, you know, trying not to be a sinner is like trying not to be a human. I mean, it doesn't work. It's just what I am. And so trying to solve that, he took that burden off of us. All right, Jesus did it for us at the cross. All right, and, you know, the working of the Holy Spirit and the application of the blood of Jesus to our lives, you know, deals with this problem of sins in our life, problems we could never overcome. God empowers us. I still remember the first time I found out I could say no to sin and win, because I never had been able to before. I could postpone it, but I could never prevent it. You know, and then I found out there was actually, you know, God gave me authority in Jesus' name to put off and to put on, and it was amazing. Right, but to what end? Why does God relieve us of these burdens? He loves us, yeah, you know, and that's true. That's one of the great reasons why he does. But there's another reason, which is that, you know, the pictures that we get of heaven, people kind of laying around on clouds playing harps and stuff, you know. I mean, this idea that I'm going to be relieved of all my duties and just have nothing to do except just enjoy breathing or something, you know, and but I don't see heaven that way at all, really. I mean, it's like, at very least, we're in kind of a full-time worship service. But, I mean, there's something to do, all right? God's got something for us to do. And sometimes we get weighed down with the wrong set of burdens, and we don't have the capacity to do the things that God has for us to do. All right, and that's why Jesus, when he's talking to the Pharisees, chastised them for binding up heavy burdens and laying them on people and not helping them bear the burdens. All right? So he says this, actually, over in Luke. Okay, Luke 11:46. But he said, "Woe to you lawyers as well, for you weigh men down with burdens hard to bear, while you yourselves will not even touch the burdens with one of your fingers." And Jesus is saying, no, it's the opposite. Don't bind up heavy burdens and put them on people. Be people who come alongside of people and help them with their burdens. And Acts 15:10, you know, it's that yoke is described as the yoke which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear. All right, so that's one of the ones that God lifts off of us. In 1 Peter 5, 4 through 11, it says, when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive the unfading crown of glory. And he says, "You young men, likewise, be subject to your elders, all of you. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." All right? And then it goes down through the scripture, and we're going to have to get this into a smaller spot here. So it just says that after you suffer for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Okay? So to what end all this strengthening? If we're going to have all our burdens carried by God, why do we need to be strengthened? Because there is something God has for us to do. All right, there is a burden bearing that God has for us to do. And we're going to get there right quick, all right? Galatians 6, 1 through 10. If someone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, throw them out of the church. No, you who are spiritual, beat them up real good and tell them restore them. Amen. Restore them. Somebody's overtaken in a fault. First thing you want to do is kind of help them understand that's a fault. You know, no. As God says no, you know, and you need to say no also, all right? And, you know, and then it means to repair them, complete them, and bring them to completion, fix them, you know? And so the people that are spiritual leadership come alongside and we try to fix it. There's a brother, and he's still out there. We're waiting to see if we can't reel him back in at some point in his life. But he just went off into abject sin, and the elders went to him 3 times, okay, to confront him on this. The first time we confronted him, we said, "Look, you know, do you understand what you're doing is sin? Do you understand there's consequences for continuing and practicing sin?" You know, and we confronted him with this. All right. He didn't listen, okay? So we went back again, all right? And we said, do you understand that you are harming your family with what you're doing? Please tell me what to tell your children when they come to me in years to come and ask, didn't my father care about us? Oops, I told you it was a guy anyway. But anyways, didn't our father care about us? I said, please tell me, what am I supposed to tell them on that day? Because they're going to ask, and I'd like to know your answer, you know? And so he stepped back. And he didn't listen, you know? And we finally went and explained to him what hell's like. And understand, do you understand that, you know, that for the evil and the harm that you're doing, you know, that the flames of hell were set there to warn you and to turn you back. And now we're just waiting, okay? We're just waiting now, all right? And I want you to understand that, you know, it's, you know, but when a brother's overtaken in a fault, our purpose is not to punish them for what they did. Our purpose is to restore them. Let's put them into order. Bring them to completion, repair and fix them. So it says, if a brother's overtaken in a fault, use your spiritual, restore them. Do in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. You know, you get into that, why, you bad person, let me, you know what starts happening? You start missing your own junk. You know, and then the next thing you know, you're tripping over your own stuff. I mean, I've seen it on a national scale. There was a famous preacher that got himself a little bit of trouble, and a bunch of other preachers got together. Boy, they're just beating him up real bad and not in the right spirit and everything like that. And I thought, those guys are in danger, don't you know? You know, the head one of the bunch that was after him fell in the same sin that he was accusing the other guy of. God doesn't want us to fall into spiritual blindness, okay? And so we're heading into this thing, we're going to bear one another's burdens. But he's saying, look, you know, even if it's a brother that's in a fault, you know, you might be bearing that. You might be walking with a person who's in error. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. By the way, that's at least six sermons right there, all right? Bearing one another's burdens, what does that mean? We're going to talk a little bit about it today, but fulfilling the law of Christ. Jesus said, I don't give any new commandments, but a new commandment I do give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is the law of Christ. It's the only commandment that he gave that was distinctive from the Old Testament commandments that he was reiterating or maybe rephrasing and that sort of thing. But this was new. That we had a new standard to look to and to try to walk with, which was that Jesus came and gave his life for us. You know, he didn't set a limit on what he was willing to do in order to save us, and that we were supposed to love one another with that same kind of love. All right, this is what drove the Romans crazy. You know, a lot of times people portray it like, well, they wouldn't offer sacrifice to Caesar. That was a small thing, because there was a lot of people who didn't really like offering sacrifice to Caesar. What bothered the daylights out of us, these people are so thick with each other that it's like the emperor in Rome could tell them to do something, and if the elder in their church said don't, they didn't. It was just a relationship. It was relationship. It was the church had no power at the time other than the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, they didn't have any silver. They didn't have any gold. We said that at the temple, if you remember. We don't have silver and gold. You know, they didn't have fancy positions. Eventually, we got a few famous people saved. But in the meantime, it was mostly fishermen and tax collectors and stuff. You know, and it was the poor that were coming. All right? It was the people that were looked down upon by the society that were coming in. And so, but they would listen. Why? Because of the loving relationship that they lived in. I can't go against this. All right? And so it says here that, you know, that fulfilling this law of Christ, so fulfill the law of Christ. All right? And so he goes on. But for if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Okay? Each has to examine his own work. He goes on. All right? For each one will bear his own load. Okay, it's bearing your load and bearing each other's burdens. You carry people's weight. You have to build a capacity to carry weight. All right? Okay, I work out with barbells and stuff like that. Kind of pointless stuff, but anyway. But then when you got to lift something, there's a friend of Sarah's that I was getting a grill from or something like that. And he said, here, let me help you with that. And I picked up the grill and just stuck it in the back of the truck. And he goes, I can tell this is not your first rodeo. You know? And I just, you know, but it's like, but that's an analogy of what I'm talking about spiritually here, is that, you know, that the weight that you got to get used to lifting as a Christian is that weight that's in other people's lives, all right? And it's like, you know, and I'm looking out and I'm seeing all kinds of people that we've walked together, We've walked together. We do lunch together. We talk. We, you know, there's things that we do. We go to Ukraine. We minister in places. And when you get overwhelmed, you know, I don't just say, "Yeah, go be overwhelmed." No, it's like, "Come to you." And we walk together through this thing. And goodness, I look around the house, and I mean, there's a lot of people where we've walked together and stuff. All right, and we're called to that. All right, we're called to that. But at the end of the day, when the invoice comes, okay, the word here, the word at the end where each one will bear their own load, it basically what it's saying is when dinner's done, everybody pays their own check, all right? When the invoice comes, just so you know, it's yours, all right? So, like, you know, so I'm going to step alongside. We're going to step along each other. We're not going to let Michelle, you know, go through this thing with anxiety by herself and say, "Well, that's her anxiety thing." Well, you know, no, we're going to come to you. We're going to walk with you, all right? Now, there comes a day when you stand before the Lord. Invoice comes due, all right, and we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to answer for the life that was lived, whether it was good or bad. On that day, the invoice, it's yours, all right? The load that you bore in life and how you did on that day is yours. To the praise of God, I pray. You know, did we do it perfect? Nope. And so if we confess that, God, look, you know, I was supposed to be patient. Well, I was kind of, yeah, I was more patient than usual, but, I blew it, yeah. I mean, okay, I mean, so, you know, you want to deal with that stuff as you're walking through life, but when the invoice comes, you know, what God expected of us, it's our responsibility, and we bear that ourselves. However, part of that invoice, by the way, was what you did for others, that bearing people's loads, all right? So there's kind of interplay. You could study that for a long, long time. You take a look at it over in Galatians chapter 6, all right? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, this he will also reap. Universal law of the harvest. Okay? And in that moment when you're tempted to say, "I don't want to get involved," there's an arrogance behind that. And here's what the arrogance is. When I say that, I'm believing I will never be in this situation, need somebody to come alongside of me. But if I believe someday that I could well be in similar or the same situation, If I believe humbly before God that I have no idea what trials I may have to endure in life, then when I see the person in a difficult spot, I go to them, all right? Because we were talking, I'm still puzzling on this. It's going to take me some years probably to puzzle on this one. Why would a person choose? What would cause a person to choose? You know, to having found rest. I finally get the good days. Things are going well for me. Ha-ha! You know, there's a guy who, in the midst of that, said, "I know, we'll eat, drink, and be merry." God spoke to him in the middle of the night and said, "You fool, this night your life's going to be required of you." You know, we don't know the day that the invoice comes, and we'll have to bear our own load, all right? And so the wisdom in this whole thing is to say, when I hit ease, when I hit wonder and joy, I look around me and I say, "God, are there people right now that could use some of what I've got to spare here?" This whole idea, I do not work and earn to satisfy myself and go, I work to meet my own needs, and then beyond that, to have enough to spare to give to the person who has a need. Okay? Let him that soul steal no more, rather let him labor with hands doing work that is good that he may have and to spare to give to him who has a need. All right? But the excess, that little, "Wow, boy, I got so much for that," more than likely, God put in there something for you then to do something with. By the way, God has a reward for the people who do that. But, you know, this is as far as we're getting today. And see, I get two sermons for the price of one. This is good stuff. It's all right. Okay? You know, so anyways, but you know, this brings us to the Lord's table. Because what sits before us is the evidence of what Jesus did. All right? He bore our burdens at Calvary. And so the hymn team can come. And so what sits before us is evidence that shows the Lord's death until he comes. And he calls us, he says, "Do this as oft as, you know, you eat it in remembrance of me." Okay? And this memory, you know, this that we receive, you know, and we receive this morsel of unleavened bread, we receive this little cup of juice. These are memorials to us that say that the one who we followed, you know, there's this thing about, you know, you'll notice all I got is my wedding ring. You know, I don't have all kinds of diamonds and jewels, so you'll go and say, "Hey, I got to figure out what he's doing so I can get that stuff." All right? Okay? You know, but it's like, no. See, here's what it is that the joy, the reward is that we follow one who gave everything for us, and he calls us into other people's lives to demonstrate that love to them. And so as we receive this morning, I'm going to ask the elders to come, as we receive this morning, receive in that spirit that, Jesus, you did all this for me, and it's my joy. Lord, what would you desire of me? Grant me opportunities and grant me eyes to see, that I can see the person overtaken in a fault, that I can see the person who has great need, that I can see the abundance, Lord, that you've given to me in this time of peace that I have, and, Lord, that I can step into the lives of others as a demonstration of this love that I received at the altar this morning.
Thanks so much for listening to this podcast brought to you every week by Henrietta Christian Fellowship, located at 1085 Middle Road in Rush, New York. If you have a prayer request or a need, we want you to know that we're here for you. Please send us an email at henriettacf@gmail.com. That's henriettacf@gmail.com. Once again, thank you for listening, and God bless.